Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host,
Mr. Ben Errington.
And that noise you hear behind us is my dog. She's got a little pent up. She's chasing it. She does this thing where she throws it in the air, and then she runs after it and then picks it up and throws it. She plays with herself flat for hours.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I reckon she's watched you doing it, and she's been like, I'm
going to
get myself some of that. I can do that better. That looks like a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, she's having a whale of a time, yeah. How's your week been? Are you all right? Nice weekend?
It's been all right, mate. How the devil has your week been?
Not too bad. So yesterday, actually, there was a horror. There was a proper horror in the house.
Oh, no, another one?
Yeah. Well, the sink wasn't draining, so I had to... Oh. We tried some drain cleaner, wasn't going down. It was full of, like, coffee grinds and old spaghetti and stuff. Like, it just wasn't going down. So I had to sort of take the U-bend out, and I'm telling you, like, the thing I had to, with no gloves, pull out of that U-bend thing, it was like a tentacled fat. It looked like, you know, like the girl from Ringu. It looked like if I carried on pulling, she would have come out eventually. Like, the hair was just it was gross, man.
It was hair,
spaghetti, rice, it was some Lovecraftian demon thing stuck up
everything
there.
Everything you need for a balanced diet.
Yeah,
going on there.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, dude. It was gross. That's about as horrible as my week. Yeah.
I pulled a hair. I looked in the plug hole recently
in the shower.
Bathroom.
In
the shower. Saw a little bit of hair. I thought I'll start pulling that out, and I just kept going until the biggest hairball came out. It was terrifying. And my daughter said it looked like a rat. Were you
worried that you might start unstitching the house just in one long? And then just you stood there in the in an open field with like loads of yarn.
Not again.
Yeah. Cool, man. Other horror guff, you seen any cool stuff? Done any cool stuff this week? No.
Seen any cool stuff?
Nil.
No, not really. I was on a film set for the weekend, a short film that I've written called The Other, directed by Christopher Bevan, filming in Birmingham and Derby. Sort of like a nice little thriller / noir type thing.
Whereabouts in Derby were you?
Oh, sorry, I didn't go to Derby. I went to Birmingham. Yeah. It was filming in Birmingham as well.
Yeah.
And Derby.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool. I guess you could say that's quite a psychological thing. So I kind of saw some stuff, you know. Can't really say much, you know.
Stuff,
I don't want to ruin it. Don't want to ruin it, you know, because everyone's waiting for bated breath.
Yeah, I am. I'm quite excited, dude. I think because I've read a script, I'm quite excited to see how it all turns out. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Be good. But apart from that, horror stuff, not much. I did see The Disaster Artist yesterday. Not horror at all.
How was that?
Obviously, the true story of the cult film The Room, directed by Tommy Wiseau. So you could say it was a horror because, you know, there's a lot of cringeworthy, ridiculous stuff. it was lovely, man. It was really heartwarming, quite sort of inspirational, and like unbelievably ridiculous to the point where you're just like, did this stuff really happen in real life? Because I've not read the book, The Disaster Artist.
Are you a fan of the film, like the Room film?
I've seen it in full once, and I've seen it in parts, and watched different sort of videos discussing it and stuff. And it is ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous. It's like you're angry at it initially, but then by the end of it, you are just laughing at it. I love it at the same time.
That's kind of reminded me of. So I watched. Me and Kat have recently found Mystery Science Theater 3000. Have you ever seen Mystery Science Theater 3000? Do you know what it is? It's been going since the 70s or something, but Netflix have like recently brought it back. And you watch it, and it's kind of like back in the day when you used to be up at like till 4 a.m, you used to put like Channel 5 on, and it would be like late night Channel 5 TV or something. And so it's like B movies.
It was just porn.
Well, yeah. But it's like, it's like B movies. Like, there's a film called Reptilicus, which is like a Godzilla ripoff. There's one called Cry Wilderness, which is like the worst film I've ever seen in my life. I think it might be worse than The Room, but I've not seen The Room. There's clips. But then there's like people like just riffing over the top of them, just chatting over them, and like just like coming in with like little zingers and one-liners and stuff. And dude, it's so funny because the films are so ridiculous and so ludicrous. Yeah, it's the kind of thing you just put on and you just sort of drift off to sleep to.
I quite really bad things, like things that are like obviously unintentionally bad, but I just love trying to get my head around them. Like, what was the process before that choice was made? Yeah. How is this in front of me now?
Yeah.
Like, how has it gone through so many people who've gone, yeah, that's fine.
That's fine.
Get that on TV, get that on film,
yeah.
Get that in the big, get that in the cinema.
Well, Reptilicus, I'm always baffled. Reptilicus was like, I could kind of see what they were going for, but they just didn't have the budget or the talent or like the anything to make it happen.
It cuts away and there's like an actual lizard just like walking along and they go, oh my God.
It's not one of those, no, it is like a puppet, but it's a really bad, it's like a, you know, we used to get like the pound bargain bins and you get like a little dinosaur rubber thing in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
It's one of those to just use as a prop for it. But Cry Wilderness is like this Bigfoot one. And I don't even know, like, I don't really know what happens in it. It's so, like, nothing really happens other than, like, there's like people laughing and wrestling with like, raccoons and stuff. And there's this guy, there's a guy who's like an Indian called Red Hawk. He just appears every now and again and gives people like weird advice.
Has there ever been a good Bigfoot film now? I mean, Bigfoot and Henderson's.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of. Yeah.
But has there ever been a good one? Because I've seen loads of Bigfoot films. Like there's a film called Exists, which was like a sort of found footage Bigfoot horror.
Willow Creek as well. I mean, that's a Bigfoot.
Willow Creek as well. Oh, Willow Creek as well. Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're both awful.
I've not seen Willow Creek.
I'm pretty sure. I've always been quite fascinated with the Bigfoot myth ever since I saw, obviously, ever since I saw Bigfoot in real life, and I said, Bigfoot, mate, it's all good, it's well and good. It's all going to be fine. Well, ever since I've seen that footage of him walking along, there's a little...
It looks like a guy
It really scared me when I was a kid. And there's like a mission in Red Dead Redemption as well, where you've got to like find the Sasquatch. It might be in the DLC, like the zombie stuff.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I love everything about the Sasquatch myth. And I don't think we've really had a good. We've had some X-Files stuff. But I don't think we've had a really good horror or any Bigfoot film. And I'd love to see one, Lou. Let's make one.
I need to. I bet there must be something out there that's good. I don't know.
Don't sound keen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd rather find one. I've never been that much of a Bigfoot fan.
You want to find Sasquatch? Let's go find him.
Okay, let's go find Sasquatch.
Road trip.
So stuff I've seen. I watched Hardware. Have you seen Hardware? Heard of Hardware? 1990.
I watched a retrospective video on it recently. A few months ago.
Well, I watched a bit of that and was like, I actually just want to watch the film.
That's what. I do like videos like that when you play this game. No, I just really want to watch this film. Who's in that? Is it
the name? The guy from Lemmy's in it. He plays like a taxi driver. The guy from season 1 of American Horror Story. I can tell you that. He plays the dad in that. And that's about all I know. But it's very 90s. It makes you, I feel like Craig Charles is going to start like coming out as like the TV host of like Robot Wars. It's like Robot Wars Extreme. Like he's going to come on and go, and then like, because the robot looks actually a lot like Sir Killalot, if you ever watched Robot Wars. But like a big version of it. Yeah. But it's...
a big stood-up version of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wouldn't say it's a good film. It's just, it's interesting. Well, so I watched Creep. Have you ever seen Creep? Not the London Tube Station one. The one with Mark Duplass.
That's what I thought you meant. No, I don't think I've seen that one. Creep with... Oh, what, the serial killer one? What?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to spoil it, but it's like... Mark Duplass, it's all found footage. A guy who's got a camera and a bit of equipment and stuff. He said he's been hired to... he saw an ad in Craigslist and he's been paid like $1,000 to just film this guy for a day. He just wants him to film him for a day. And it's Mark Duplass and he says, I've got cancer, I'm going to die. And I just want you to film me in my life and we'll talk. And he gets really weird throughout the film and then turns into like a pretty awesome horror story, actually. It's good. And The Creep 2 is coming out at the end of this year, so I'd be interested to watch that.
Is it called The Creep or just Creep?
Just Creep. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Okay, I think I've seen the Tube Station one.
Yeah, I've seen the Tube Station one a couple of times. Yeah,
Tube Station one's like
angry fetus who's come out and grown up and starts like attacking people. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, angry fetus man.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, when you go into Tube Station, there's homeless people sleeping in these weird little caverns and stuff. Okay. And I think they don't exist. I'm pretty sure that's not real. But,
have you been down there, mate? Have you been down there looking for him?
Yeah.
Maybe you should get down with a camera.
Yeah.
Come back to me once you've got the results.
Yeah.
And we might have a good fan footage horror film on our hands.
Also watch Free Fire. Just get out. It's not horror, but it's Ben Wheatley. And we talked about Ben Wheatley.
Oh, yeah. Before. Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
What did you think?
That's great. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. I was
the cast.
Yeah. It's a proper ensemble. I was kind of surprised at how much I cared because there's so many characters. I was kind of surprised by how much I cared about them dying at the end. I was, especially because the film doesn't really end in a particularly pleasant way for the guy who I thought was like the main guy. But
yeah, loads of great. Yeah, loads of great. Michael Smiley, Brie Larson, Cillian Murphy,
Charlton
Copley. It was an amazing cast, and it was just like one of those films where I was just like on the edge of my seat pretty much throughout. It was just. It's just like one big one big action scene.
Yeah, I think
slow dialogue bits in between.
The fact that it's like the one scene is the best thing about it and also the worst thing about it. Because like, this is amazing because it's all in one big environment, but at the same time, it's like, oh, I kind of would like to see them outside that environment a bit. But it's, it's really good. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's great.
Cute.
Doesn't necessarily feel like a Ben Wheatley film, though, I thought.
Well, okay, so what we've got? Sightseers, Field in England.
Sightseers, A Field in England, Kill List.
Down Terrace. Down Terrace, Sightseers, Kill List kind of feel very similar to me in some way.
True.
High Rise, I've not seen.
Oh, yeah, High Rise. I didn't really like High Rise. I thought it was a bit. Yeah, I didn't really like it. I'm trying to think of a word to describe it. It's just a bit meh.
Yeah.
I just find it a bit meh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm.
I was thinking about, you know, The Others, the film that we did earlier on the show. And I was like trying to think, that was a good film, but it was just kind of meh. I just kind of, when I think about it back to it, it's just kind of a meh film.
It's bland. It's like having bland, a lovely bowl of gruel in the morning. You know, I mean, you get nutrition from it, but you know, I mean, it's not enjoyable. Just shovel it in and be quiet.
Chat it. Should we get into the film then?
Yes. What film is it this week?
We are doing Luke number 19 on the list. We're doing An American Werewolf in London.
I forgot to watch it. I'm only joking.
You should have kept that going for a while.
Oh, no.
All the way to the end. I would have liked.
Just made it up, and you went. Oh, I loved the bit with a. I loved the bit with a dinosaur. That bit was great. Oh yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's Night in the Museum too.
No, he's easily confused. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Sure. Okay. An American Werewolf in London is a 1981 horror comedy film written and directed by John Landis, starring David Norton, Jenny Agutter, and Griffin Dunn. Two young American college students, David Kessler and Jack Goodman, are attacked by a werewolf on a backpacking holiday in England. When Jack is killed, David is taken to a hospital. This is quite. This isn't actually a synopsis. This is pretty much just like telling you the story. Okay. So that's all you need to know.
Okay.
Attacked by a werewolf while backpacking on holiday in England.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what Empire had to say about it. A comedy horror that skimps on neither. American Werewolf manages to be properly scary, blackly funny, and in the relationship between lycanthrope Norton and nurse Agutter, genuinely moving. It's a deft juggling act confidently performed by director Landis, who, while he remains immensely likable, was arguably never this good again. Poor Landis. An American director in England, his sense of the country never descended to twee American Engeland cliches, and even the stock lines and characters stay off the moors. That's enough. Are performed in such a way that they never grate. It's a loving homage to bygone scares that nevertheless feels entirely modern, even 35 years later. It's got a 90% score on Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes, 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb. You know, it's right on the standard IMDb.
We're on the cusp.
Yeah. So this we asked the Facebook group, and quite a lot of people had a few bits and pieces to say, bits and bats to add. So Matthew Stott says, you know, I don't think I've ever seen that all the way through. I definitely recommend it, Matt. Andy CT says, I'm actually more familiar with, by all the accounts, less good sequel, which I think I saw at the cinema. I know the original has a stronger horror vibe, but having only semi-watched it many years ago, I can't remember any of the story beats. I'm assuming there are werewolves, at least one of which is American, and a trip to London. Go on.
I didn't even connect those two films. Even if I'd seen both, I thought it was just like, kind of a bit of a spin on the name, because I think it was... But then it is linked because it's supposedly their son, isn't it? Daughter, sorry.
So when I was a kid, we had American Werewolf in Paris as a VHS. I think we borrowed it from Impact VHS rental in Mansfield. And you sort of tape the tape, if that makes sense. So you just got it's illegal, but you know you do it. And you just watch everything over again.
Is it legal?
So I think I used to watch that over and over again because it wasn't a scary film, I don't think. It was just...
No, I don't think it was that scary. I've definitely seen it there. So John Connolly says, the first horror movie he ever saw as a kid, still love it today, a classic. Dan Butcher saying, the film that scared the shit out of me as a kid, especially the sequence on the underground. Yes, indeed. There was a chunk cut out where the wolf tears apart some homeless dudes going around a bin fire. Interesting. Apparently one of the guys who is killed by the werewolf in this film also played Biba Fortuna in Return of the Jedi, and I've looked at a photo and yes,
yeah, confirmed.
Definitely that guy.
Johnny Swinner says, I refer to the transformation scene in this when arguing my case that practical special effects far outdo CGI. I mean, yeah, just an example of that, like if you look at the effects in American Werewolf in Paris now, like they don't hold up like at all. Like it looks like you know, like the same kind of graphics quality as when you play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 and the Activision logo pops up. It's like that kind of quality, the PS1 quality.
It's PS1 / sometimes PS2 graphics all over it.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the effects in this hold up massively. And again, this is a perfect example of it doesn't show you too much. You never see everything in all its glory. You kind of see bits and bobs and little angles and weird little stuff. And when you do get to see more than perhaps you expected, the effect of that is so much more.
Well, there was one bit where in the tube station bit where the guy's like falls on the escalator and he's sort of going upstairs, and then the camera just shows you just a little clip of the wolf just sort of walking into the frame, and it looks so good, like so scary. It looks so real. Yeah.
It's a good werewolf as well because it's like on all fours. Obviously, a lot of the time you get the sort of on two legs, haunched one. But yeah, we'll obviously get into it. But in terms of practical effects, this and The Thing would probably be the two I would refer to while discussing practical effects over sort of CGI.
Who did especially the effects in The Thing? No, it's not the same guy. So Rick Baker did the effects here.
That's right.
But Yeah, man, what did you think? Initial thoughts? Have you seen this before?
I've seen this lots before, yeah. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's just, I mean, it's a film I love to talk about because it is that perfect combination of horror and comedy, but where neither suffers.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the time in horror comedies, one usually suffers.
Yeah.
And nothing seems to suffer. I mean, it's not like an out and out laugh fest.
It's not as comical as Evil Dead 2, but it does sort of have a similar sense of humor.
It's like a horror film, but with a wink and a nod at occasion. So it like knows that it's playing up to cliches and stereotypes in places.
Yeah.
And it kind of has a little bit of a wink and nod, has a bit of fun with it. And obviously the soundtrack.
I forgot how good the soundtrack was.
Almost every song involved has got moon in it in some way. And the way the songs are used, like they're just used in the places you just wouldn't expect them.
Yeah.
And when they're used, it kind of like it just dials up the scene. It just takes the scene from here to here and just makes it just complete. Like, but it is amazing. It's one of those films that is creepy.
Yeah.
I think the performances of everyone are great. You've got the sort of the romance element, but then the romance doesn't really get in the way of what is really essentially a great horror story. I love it because it's UK set as well. I mean, I love UK set horrors because again, you kind of understand the vibe a lot more. You understand that when they're in this like small like village or and they're rambling on the moors, you understand. You can kind of feel like how cold they are when they're there, because you're like, you know exactly what that feels like. And when they're wandering around London as well, what is this? What film? What year is this? 82.
It's weird, isn't it? Especially the tube 81. Station. Like the tube station looks exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
It's
yeah.
Weird. Like the escalators. when they go up, you've got like the posters. You have like for the West End, the theatre posters on the side. It's exactly the same, apart from the adverts have changed.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so weird. Like I always feel like. Why have the tube stations not been updated in 30 years?
Yeah.
Like what?
It's almost like if you were a time traveler and you got on the tube and that was your method of transportation, you came out.
You were like, well, essentially, I've not gone anywhere.
40 years later, you go, it didn't work. Get back on.
It's insane. That was like the Tottenham Station bit when they're stuck on the underground. I was like, I don't understand how it looks so similar. Like, it's almost unbelievable. Like
the cars and the fashion has changed, but
I don't know because you see hipsters walking around in the same sort of.
I suppose you're right. Yeah,
it's weird.
But yeah, it's almost like it's a bit like a pocket of time, but it doesn't feel like it is one of those films that hasn't really aged. Like there are only a few. I mean, there's probably loads, but you know what I mean? Just to mention one, for example, like Jurassic Park. When you watch that film, it doesn't feel like it's nearly 30 years old.
No.
25, 30 years old.
Wow.
And this feels the same. For 40 years old, you don't once think, oh, I'm watching a bloody old film here. It just translates so well.
Yeah, like even like the Nazi werewolves, like jokes, you know, those sort of moments. I feel like those play just as well now as they probably did back then. Like it's so.
Exactly. Because it's like the B-movie pop type thing that kind of I'm sure there was a time where perhaps this did feel dated, but now it's come back around nicely.
I also feel like the way England is portrayed in this, just stand up for a sec, is really quite genuine and authentic compared to the way London and England is portrayed in like every other sort of American film.
Well, yeah, considering it's an American director.
Yeah.
It does feel kind of like, oh, right, okay, so it's not all about this and that. It is quite real because it shows not just one type of regional accent as well.
We get a couple
of regional accents and you kind of get an understanding of sort of people from a lot of walks of life, you know what I mean? You get like the sort of little village country type people. You get a lovely posh well-to-do people who are obviously got quite a nice job, but and then like police and
it's cool. Like it never feels like I never feel like I'm just about to hear the national anthem or something like overly sort of London, like too many red buses going by or something. It just feels like you're in like it's a good film set in London.
It feels like a really good fleshed out world.
yeah,
that does feel real. And again, when you have things like that, when the world building is so good, then everything on screen just kind of works, doesn't it? I mean, there are plenty of things that you'd see in a different film, in this film, for example, that perhaps you'd think, oh, slightly ridiculous. You know what I mean? Some of the shots of the werewolf, for example, some of the scenarios, some of the like the visions and the talking to the dead people.
Yeah.
But in this film, it just really does sort of hit home, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, just to stick on the werewolves as well. Like, so I like werewolf films, but I'm always let down by the look of the wolves. When you finally see them, I always think, that looks fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, I can give it as much, a bit of goodwill as I can, but some part of me inside is like, this is not that great. Like, the Ginger Snaps, like, it's, I watched that fairly recently. Yep. That was filmed late 90s. And the werewolf in that looks fucking turd compared to the wolf in this. This one just looks so good. I don't know what it is about it.
The dog soldiers werewolves look pretty good.
I haven't seen that in a long time, so I can't really remember. But
I mean, they're just men in like upper body suits, I think. And they look good. They look genuinely quite terrifying. Like they could.
Yeah.
I mean, again, all practical effects with the werewolves. Not there might be some CGI, but it's probably minimal. But yeah, this again, you don't see. If you saw this werewolf, perhaps just in the cold light of day, running down the street, because you see it running around, but like it's shot in such a way where you're just kind of like you're taking on the journey with it. But if you saw it in the cold light of day running around, maybe you'd be like, that looks fucking stupid. but you're shown just enough. Like you can tell it's like a sort of animatronic type puppeteered thing. You can tell that, but from what you get to see, it does feel real.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the story then. One second. So the key players, we've got David Norton, very Norton boy. He plays David Kessler, and his friend Griffin Dunn, who plays Jack Goodman. They're like these American backpackers. I don't really know why they're in, maybe taking a gap year or something, just traveling around England. I think David's dragged Jack to Northern England for a little bit of a rambling weekend or something. I don't know many people who think that's a good way to spend time in England, rambling around at Yorkshire. I don't know, it feels like something you do if you're a bit older.
Yeah,
like, these guys should be in like nightclubs and stuff, you know what I mean, in mosh. I don't know. Okay.
They're having a lovely good time with the just rambling about.
Jenny Agutter. Plays Nurse Alex Price. She comes a little bit later on, becomes a bit of a love interest. And John Woodveen plays Dr. J.S. Hirsch. He has a pretty major role in front. But I just wanted to talk about a certain credited second chess player, Rick Mayall.
Yes. Who,
like, this must be like one of his first films or like whatever he's been in. Because, I mean, the American listeners listed it might not realize, but Rick Mayall is like TV royalty in England. Like, he's like one of the funniest people. He was in Bottom, which is what we used to, and The Young Ones. What else has he been in?
Drop Dead Fred.
Guest House Paradiso.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rick Mayall. But I did remember him being in this film. But when you see him, it's just a bit like, I mean, he does well what he's given, doesn't he? I mean, he's
not really given anything, is he?
He's got that sort of like little bit suspicious. He could probably fly off the handle at any point, but he's not gonna. He's just gonna chill out and play chess. And he has a little laugh as well and spits his drink at one point.
Yeah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever laughed at something so hard you spat a drink?
Not as extremely as that. I've definitely
to the point where it's like it looked like I was pretending I was in like an American.
Like Triple H. I've actually spat on my screen.
Exactly. Yeah, of course, Triple H coming onto the ring.
Coming onto the ring. Steady on, Triple H. I know you're excited and everything, but spit give it a rest.
Okay. Are you about to do it now? You're just taking a big cup.
I was thinking about it, You made me think about it. You made me thirsty.
Okay, so the story, we start off with our two American backpackers, David and Jack, wandering around Yorkshire. It's coming on to evening, it looks very cold. They're talking about, they get dropped off by like a farmer, like loads of sheep.
Yeah.
A bit unusual. They're just joking around, talking about like life back in America. I think they took one, Jack's talking about some girl that he wants to bang. Although
I think he wants to meet her in Rome. So we understand that even though they've come to England, they're obviously doing some sort of like they're traveling, so they're
around
traveling
the world
like,
thing,
around Europe. And he wants to bang her for some for some reason.
And we get the idea that David is a little bit less of a wham bam thank you mum, and more of a, like he wants like a relationship. Did you say he's got someone in mind or something, or did he just sort of say he'd rather have a?
I can't remember.
Yeah, but we get the idea a bit more.
Sorry,
of a,
so unhelpful.
We get the idea of a bit more like a caring sort of dude. Darkness starts to fall, and then they find it's getting really cold. They find like a little town. I think it's called Crickington. And there's a little pub called The Slaughtered Lamb, which has like a wolf's head on the artwork. Yep. There's a lot of pubs like that. I mean, I don't think they've been quite as brutal as that, but it's like, the goose's head, and we've got like goose heads on the artwork and stuff. It felt like a proper pub. You ever been to a pub like this where you walk in?
Everyone looks stops. At you.
Yeah, it's weird. Like,
it is weird. What is that about? Yeah. Like, it's just you think there must be in pubs like that. People, just like strangers, must come in a lot, but or maybe they don't. Do you know what I mean? Because I hate it when that happens. All right, it's like, well, what are you doing here, bloody hell, city folk?
Yeah, and then you ask for a Foster's or like a lager, and they look at you like you've just pissed on the.
We've already got mead here.
Yeah. We only do ale. It's like a proper ale bar, but but then like those kind of places, like you sit down, you have a drink, and then someone else walks in, and then you look at them like, who the fuck is that?
you immediately join forces with everyone. You immediately become part of the family. Yeah. Someone else walks in, you go, "Who the fuck are you, mate?" Get out.
Yeah.
But so obviously all the locals are sort of looking at these boys strangely, and they ask for like coffee first. I ain't got any of that. Ask for hot chocolate.
Did they ask for tea? They say no. That's a bit weird in Yorkshire.
And she goes, "Have you got any tea?" And she goes, "Yes." No, she goes, "No. But I can make you some."
Okay.
So you have got some then.
Yeah. What a weird thing to say, yeah.
So they can't get any food or anything. And then everyone's quite like, no one's interested in them. And they're trying to sort of make conversation a few times as well. There's like a five-pointed star on the wall with some like candles around it.
Like a pentagram or something.
Pentagram thing.
I was thinking, is this taking the legend of Black Shuck, this werewolf in the moor? I mean, I don't really know too much about Black Shuck. But I just know it's like a sort of like ghostly wolf dog thing, isn't it?
I'd have to look more into the legend, but it sounds like a little bit like it could be,
Jack asks about the what's it called? And what did he say? They say, did he get angry? Oh, yeah, one of them says, "You maybe missed my dart shot."
I recognise that guy. I've seen that guy in some stuff.
Pubs.
Some pubs. Not sure what the actor's name is, but he's like an actor who's in a lot of British drama stuff. So he made him miss his dart, and then the chess player. Everyone just comes a bit aggressive, don't they? Like saying,
"You made him miss his fucking darts.
What you doing?
Bad, yeah.
Over playing chess. Rick Mail spits out his drink after a joke is told. What's the joke? I can't remember.
Well, there's. Remember that? So yes, it's, I've heard variations of this joke a lot. When the American took someone else out. Remember, there's the knock knock joke bit. I didn't understand what the hell they were talking about there. And then there's the you just said you made me play darts, now get out.
Well, pretty much they just become a bit hostile, and I think then David and Jack realize that they're not really welcome, so they decide to leave. I think David wants to leave more than Jack does. Jack's like, "Well, I haven't eaten anything." And then one of them goes, "There's no food for you here, lads," or something like that. They decide to leave. And after they leave, the pub landlady is like, "We can't let them go. We can't let them go like this."
Yeah. And then there's one of them says, "It's in God's hands now." This seems like
they're clear of the moors.
Like, I still. So this eventually results in one of their deaths, and I still feel like. Why did they let him go? Just because he insulted the dart, like made him miss his dart shot.
I think I got the vibe that they were outsiders. So obviously this quite closely knit group or closely knit community had obviously a secret that there was like a werewolf knocking about. So maybe they don't get many outsiders coming into their town. And now they have got outsiders coming to the town. They're like, Jesus, they're going to find out about the werewolf curse or maybe out the werewolf curse.
They definitely are if they say go outside. It's full moon tonight. Like,
I think they just assume, though, that if they go outside, they're dead. That's it. And maybe like on some level, they want that. I don't know.
Well, it's not painting Northerners very well.
It's not, but I did kind of get that. I kind of understood that they were burdened with something. So it wasn't like, they were as horrible Northerners sending them out to their death to be chewed up by a werewolf.
Yeah. So, there you go. There's a bit of commotion inside the pub saying, don't let him go. We've got to let him go. It doesn't matter now. It's up to them. Whatever happens, happens. And then you hear like the howling. And then outside, Jack and, you know, if you've ever been like around those kind of places, I don't know where they're supposed to be walking to. People like just get lost out and die. Yeah. Like,
where are they going? You didn't just walk onto the moors thinking I'm going to find somewhere.
That could go on for miles. Like you
that could go on forever.
I'm glad that wolf found them because it would have taken them days to die another way. A really horrific like starvation sort of death of exposure. But yes, the wolf finds them. It's quite brutal, the wolf attack, I thought. Comes out of nowhere on Jack, mauls his neck and his sort of face and stuff. And Jack.
But David runs away initially. And then sort of realizes, no, I need to go back for him. So he goes back, but it's kind of too late.
I feel like that's a save the cat moment. I feel like that's the point at which we go, David's a good guy. Like David's the, you know, because he goes back to sort of try and help his friend.
Yeah, but even in running away at that initial stage, you're a bit like,
well, I feel like that was his like automatic response, his instant response. Okay. And then he was like, no, like his brain kicked in.
Yeah.
But it's too late anyway. And it sort of didn't work out too well. So he gets attacked. Where does it get? Oh, I guess on his chest or something.
Yeah, he sort of gets scratched on his chest and he gets a claw mark on his face as well. And just before he's about to get done in, before he's about to get ended.
Yeah.
The pub goers appear and one of the guys shoots the werewolf.
Yeah.
And then David turns and sees a naked man next to him with a bullet wound. What I thought in this moment was, why are these guys, like the people in the pub, not just gone out and killed the werewolf before?
Yeah. And also, why did he let David go? He's been bitten by a werewolf.
Yeah, yeah. You'd think that they'd be up to speed with this curse and how it worked.
Yeah. They would have killed him, wouldn't they? Or like, maybe they were like, we've lost one wolf. Now we've got another one to cull the sheep.
Yeah, we'll send him to London.
That's another thing. There. Why that doesn't happen? Like, if you get hurt if you get mauled in Leeds or wherever in Yorkshire, you go to Leeds Hospital. They don't send you like on a 6-hour car ride across the country to.
Luke Condor has been glassed in Leeds city centre. Luke, are you all right? No, I'm bleeding out here. Right, we're just going to take you down to Cornwall.
That's where it's like a thing on NHS, isn't it? Bit of a right wing, a bit of a propaganda. There's too full. There's too many in the Leeds hospital, so we're going to have to take David to London.
All the beds are taken. I can see some empty rooms in there. Nah, reserved. Get out of it.
Hey, you know what? This is the only thing that I didn't feel was very true in my experience was the hospital. That's not what an NHS hospital looks like.
No, that's like a hospital from like Mary Poppins or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's like maybe it's like a middle class sort of hospital. But then, why is David? It's weird.
It looked like a possible private hospital.
I think it was Booper.
It's also got kids in it.
Yeah, it was Booper. It was Boo Pediatrics. Okay. David wakes up.
He wakes up 3 weeks later.
Yeah, and
from a scratch. Oh, 3 weeks down now.
There's a police chief who wants to interview him when he wakes up, and I was like, "Is that Tobias Funke from Arrested Development? Have you ever watched Arrested Development?"
No. I mean, I know so many actors who are in it, but I've not seen it.
You look like David Cross if you.
Okay. Oh wait, bald guy.
Yeah,
with glasses.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I know him, yeah.
I see what you mean. Oh, yes,
yeah,
so it's what happened. So David wakes up. Before he wakes up, though, there's two nurses, and they're like, is he Jewish? And he was like, oh, I know, I've had a look. Like, she's had a look at his todger.
That's not allowed.
It's not allowed, especially in private practice in Booper.
No, If you're going to have a look, then you've got no.
Yeah. I think at this point he's having a bit of a... He's already having like the visions of like... It's like the Evil Dead moving camera from the vision, like through the woods, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so he's having some dodgy dreams we've seen.
Yeah.
So obviously tells him that they were attacked by an escaped lunatic.
Yeah.
And David insists that they were actually attacked by a big old dog or a wolf or something like that. Which they're just like, nah, it was a lunatic, mate. It's a lunatic with really long fingernails.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so why has he got like giant like hand scratches on his... Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense because it's not what happened. But I don't know if David's kind of convinced or not. Well, the police investigator's like, okay, fair enough.
We'll leave you all to right, it. All right, mate, fair dues. See you later.
And then I guess it's kind of, he gets a little bit better, eat some food, replay another moon-related song.
But he's eating some food, he's chilling out, he's getting slowly getting better. He's sort of chatting to the nurse a little bit. Who's incredibly posh, and she's got probably one of the most.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
How could we describe her voice? It's very plum. It's very plum. It's very Joanna Lumley,
yeah.
Dripping with honey, and you know, it's almost too deep for how it should be. But
you still sound like David Attenborough.
It will.
It was David Attenborough. Ooh. This is
it was David Attenborough.
Yeah.
Drag.
Yeah.
I thought Jenny Agutter was lovely though.
At some point around here, we've got the Nazi werewolf scene. I think kind of stuff is kind of, it's like time passes quite quickly here. We've got him falling asleep and there's like little bits of visions here and there. And the Nazi werewolf scene was kind of really out of left field.
Does he see the Nazi werewolves first? Does he see Jack's reanimated corpse first?
I think Jack comes later on.
All right.
I don't know, maybe. I kind of feel like at the Nazi scene, he's still not...
He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the Nazi werewolf scene, he's obviously having a lovely dream where he's, I'm assuming, at home with his family. Someone knocks on the door, and then it's Nazi werewolves with machine guns shooting the living shit out of his family.
It's really brutal as well.
Holding a knife. Yeah, it's horrible. Killing kids.
Yeah.
Holding a knife to his throat, burning the room. You know, I mean, it's pretty horrific. And obviously a classic double wake up. What do we call that? Like a dream within a dream, inception moment?
Yeah.
Where he wakes up from one dream, obviously thinks he's back in the hospital, and then suddenly the werewolf appears and stabs the nurse, and then he wakes up again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And then he, at some point, he sees Jack. Jack appears, and he's like kind of mauled. The makeup effects are really good on here as well.
Got like, there's lots of stuff about hanging off.
Yeah.
Hanging off and like wobbling as he talks.
Ugh, wobbling. And then he's like, David... I'm sorry to say, but you are a werewolf. That was a werewolf that got you. I'm now in limbo. I'll be in limbo until the day that the last of the werewolf bloodline is dead or something. So you have to die for me to find peace. I really like these scenes with the like the dead people trying to get him to commit suicide. Like, there's more of it later on, but like it's just like a really weird idea, like a really like funny idea that like the people you kill by accident would kind of want you to off yourself.
Yeah,
So what do you say? So you need to kill yourself before you turn because people are going to die or something.
Yeah, because people are going to die. Didn't he say it's going to be like a couple of weeks still until he turns? I'm not sure. He gives him a deadline.
Yeah.
So basically, you're going to turn, you're going to kill the people you love, or you're going to kill people close to you or whatever he sort of says.
People are going to die. Yeah.
People are going to die, but David didn't believe him. David's like, don't mug me off, mate. You're just a figment of my imagination, even if you do look like shredded duck.
Well, he starts crying. And then Nurse Agatha comes in and she goes, are you all right? Do you want to live with me?
As simple as that.
Well, he's like crying. And he goes...
You've got to do the voice, Luke, otherwise I don't quite understand what you're saying.
Which voice?
Would you like to come live with me?
Oh, Jesus.
No. Did you like it? Did you like it or did you not like it?
It's always a little bit creepy. I think she kind of said, at this point, we've got the impression that they're building a nice little relationship. She obviously likes him for some reason. He's telling her he's a werewolf, and she's still like, I'm just...
Oh, that's just my type, that is.
Yeah.
Big, big, strong American bloke turns into a werewolf at night and shreds people up. That is absolutely nails. I like a bad boy.
Yeah. Maybe it's a smell. Maybe there's some sort of like pheromone wolf smell or something. I don't know.
She's like, that's making me ever so ready.
Nice. So then they go back to, I was going to say, Joanna Lumley's house, to stop off for a tea and a crumpet, and then head on to Dr. Agatha's house. What is her name?
Her name's Alex Price.
Alex, that's the one, yeah. Okay. Nurse Price. At the same time, before all this happened, the doctor, very well-to-do gentleman, he doesn't believe him, but then he decides at some point to investigate a bit more. I think he does that whilst David goes back to her flat.
Yeah.
Very nice flat. That flat would... They wouldn't be able to afford that on their own now. There'd be about five people in that one little place. Shared bathroom. Shared floor.
Shared floor. Shared everything.
Yeah, yeah. Shared bed. And then... Okay, so... So what happens now? So they go back
So the doctor goes to the slaughtered lamb to ask questions of the sort of people who are in the pub. All the same people in the pub, even though it's the middle of the day. So they obviously spend their entire day there.
I know the type. Go to the Weber's.
Yeah, you know the type.
10 a.m. You know the type.
Knocking on the door, settle down with a newspaper in the corner.
Yeah.
Shelling back pints of John Smith's all day. Yeah. The doctor just has half a Guinness, you know, because he's driving. Again, the
he doesn't even drink it all. Doesn't even drink it all. Did you notice that?
No. He has a little sip.
Two mouthfuls.
Yeah. Rude.
No nuts. No crisps or anything.
No. Just Guinness.
Sips like the frothy top. And that's it.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's going to be bloated.
He's going to be bloated.
So he's asking questions, and everyone in the pub is kind of gets a little bit defensive and aggressive again, saying that they ain't got a clue what he's bloody on about. But. The one of the pub goers, the guy missed the dart throw when the lads were there.
Essentially, this is his fault because he missed his dart throw. He probably missed it by accident anyway, and he blamed it on his saving face. He's like, it's them Yankees over there.
Yeah,
remember the Alamo? Get out. And then but now he's like, oh shit, they died. One's now a werewolf, all because I didn't want to admit that I missed the dartboard.
What a twat. he waits outside and tells the doctor pretty much that yes, he is going to become a vampire.
And the werewolf.
He is going to become a werewolf. It's all true. They need to stop him before he dies. And obviously another one of the guys comes out and says, stop telling him that shit, you twat. And he runs off.
Yeah, so he's a proper northern, that guy, isn't he? Well, I suppose they all are.
He's the kind of northerner. No offense to northerners. He's the kind of northerner that drinks gravy. Like a pint of gravy.
Yeah. Bovril. Do you have Bovril down in Brighton?
Down where?
Right. in Bristol.
Well, it might have
Brighton, Bristol. It's all the same, isn't it, down south?
It's all the same with you bloody limp-wristed southerners.
Too warm down there, it is. You're all the same.
Exactly.
Okay, so...
It's bloody tropical.
Yeah. So they, Alex, Dr. Alex, Nurse Alex even, and David go back to her flat, and they do a sex.
They do the deed.
They do the deed.
Quite a long sex scene this was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It depends how you feel about sex scenes, because I was watching it and there were other people around me. I watched it on some transport.
Oh right, yeah.
And I thought, like, for that initial moment, even though it is a 1981 film,
yeah.
In that initial moment, if someone hasn't seen me watching a film and then they just look over at that particular moment where there's sex,
he's watching porn.
They'll just go, he's watching some classic porn on his laptop. And you kind of feel like, do I like turn it? Do I fast forward it? Do I keep watching?
Here's what I do. So I will command tab to a different window, and I'll leave the sound on, so I'll know when it's done. But I'll know the story. I know what's going on in the story, and then I'll command tab back. The only time I've been caught out was when I was watching High Tension, and someone was looking over just at the point where the killer's like having sex with his skull. Like the severed head. Yeah, someone looked at me at one point and I was like, come on, tab.
Spoilers for High Tension. It was pretty much like that. To be honest, I persevered and I watched the whole damn thing and I enjoyed it. So there we go.
Did you finish?
I did finish the film eventually. Yeah. Cool. Did I finish anything else? I had a lovely can of Coke. I finished that too.
Nice. So the morning after the sex time, it's maybe even the same day, a bit later on, she goes to work, she has a job, and then we have the transformation scene, which is, we get after the bad moon rising, a bit of CCR, a bit of Credence. This kind of scene kind of came out of nowhere.
Was it Bad Moon Rising or was it Blue Moon? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I remember CCR being on around that time.
Okay.
I think he might have just been dancing for a bit or something.
Yeah. That happened when he was bored. Bad Moon Rising was playing when he was walking around bored and reading and led down and not knowing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He was bored alone, home alone, while she was out breadwinning.
Yeah.
And he was being a lazy so-and-so. Sitting around, lazy around.
Lazy bloody so-and-so. Yeah. And then he went and turned into a wolf, didn't he?
Yeah, so... and I love the start of this scene, because we get a scene before where... Alex is like putting a kid to bed, little kid called Benjamin who keeps saying no to everything, and she like threatens him with violence at some point. She's like, have you ever had your head kicked to shit? And he goes, no! Would you like a nice swift punch to the face? No!
Well, I can see his point.
He says no to everything.
Yeah.
To be honest, Benjamin stole the show for me. Every time he's on screen, bearing in mind he had to say no about 10 times, every time he said no, I laughed.
I do wonder if he did actually have lines, and the actor was being like a little shit, and he just had to
He was a kid who knew he was in the film though, because look, he was doing something at one point, drinking water, and he was like laughing. I'm in a film. No. But then it cuts, and you get like a split second of David reading a book, and then he just goes, "Jesus!" and like holds his head.
Yeah.
Like that was like. I went back to that bit like three times thinking, did that really just happen? It seems so out of nowhere. There's like
weird, isn't it?
There's absolutely no build to it. There's no like...
There's no moon coming out of the clouds and he's like...
I think you see the moon sweating. For like a second.
Yeah, it's weird.
You see the moon for a second to show that there's a full moon, and then he immediately starts transforming. And it was like, I don't know. It was so sudden.
It
made me think, what the fuck's happening? Do you know what I mean? And then the transformation scene, which is...
There's one bit of the transformation scene where he goes, my skin. And then he rips off his clothes.
Yeah.
And then he's got suddenly got a really hairy back. And I was like, I know the feeling, dude. Comes out of nowhere, though, that stuff. Like,
yeah, so you see like a hand growing, fingernails growing.
How do they do that? The hands
Everything's sort of, obviously, fantastic practical
effects. The bit that got me was when he's like on his back and his body's like stretching.
What's good is it focuses on like each body part as it's growing, but then every time it cuts back, something else has changed. It's like his face looks slightly different. And it's sort of when his spine was sort of going as well, and his body was sort of going out into all fours. I mean, it is fantastic. One thing that it does look is really painful.
Yeah, could you hear like the crumpling, like, yeah, bones underneath, yeah, like Rice Krispies, and his face like emerges out of his face. It's really weird.
It is weird, but it's a good transformation. In my head, this is how a werewolf transformation should be. I mean, some bad werewolf transformations, for example, Van Helsing, you know, the film with...
can't remember it.
Hugh Jackman. Early 2000s. When he turns into a werewolf, there's another werewolf, but I think Hugh Jackman becomes one as well. He kind of like... The wolf kind of like emerges out of the human skin, and the human skin like falls away.
I mean, that kind of thing. There's one called Hemlock Grove. Did you ever watch that?
That's a TV show, isn't it? Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean... The TV show wasn't great. I didn't really like enjoy it. But I do remember the werewolf scene where he sort of comes out of his skin and then he eats the skin. It's the same way like dogs will eat their own shit sometimes. Skin. Well, yeah, like a lot of sort of lap it up and then gobbles it down.
So yeah, he becomes the vampire werewolf. That's twice now. What's wrong with me?
Yeah. So
he becomes the werewolf, yeah. And. It goes on a rampage.
So who's the first one to get... So the people go to the party, the house party. Yeah, they get moided.
The flirty couple get moided by the werewolf guy.
And then, and then we get the homeless people. So this... because you can see Tower Bridge here. That place where they're like scrapyard isn't there anymore. I'm pretty sure that's like a trendy flat or something now. But,
it's still called Scrapyard.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
these three people get mauled. Apparently, as Dan Butcher was saying, that was a really brutal scene. Like one of the most brutal scenes ever filmed or something, but they couldn't show it. So it's been cut and no one's ever actually seen it. And then there's the stalking through. I will say one thing. Like he is jumping around London. Like he goes from like Tottenham Court Road Station to up to Tower Bridge, he gets around like crazy.
Maybe you could like as a former resident of London, maybe you could make up some sort of map system and try and work out
how fast he is.
To work out how fast he is, how long it took, how long his rampage. Also, I thought he only killed six people. That's not many when you think about it, considering how much bloodlust he seemed to have. You know, he's just attacking people willy nilly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he must have. Because of the distance between these places, he must have passed a shit ton of tourists.
Do you reckon he commuted?
He must have gotten a tube at one point. Like he must have like accidentally swallowed an Oyster card, and he just sort of scanned himself through as he went through the turncoats. The stalking scene in Tottenham Court Road Station was maybe one of my favourite scenes. Just because I knew that, because we were saying earlier how it looks exactly the same. Because I've been through that sort of place so many times, I was like, oh my God, like this, I understand. Like it was kind of weird. It's really uncanny. And then the guy who played Bib Fortuna gets mauled. And I think he's the last one.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a great scene, obviously, when he's sort of going up. He's fallen over, bloodied nose. He's going up the escalator on his back. And then you see sort of like the wolf just slowly crawling into frame, which was creepy. That was creepy. It looked a little bit.
I think that was my favorite shot. Actually, there's something about it that I just found really. Ugh.
Yeah.
So he wakes up in the London Zoo with the wolves. Apparently filmed. So they were real wolves. They were well fed and stuff, but they just sort of had him naked in there. He wakes up there. He's feeling good for some reason. He doesn't know why. He can't remember anything since.
He switches pretty extremely, doesn't he? Like, he's feeling good. He's feeling on top of the world. He's almost like a bit of a sex pest at this point. He's like, he's giving Alex Price, like, just like, he's all over her.
Bloody hell, you wait. I'm going to have you later tonight. Going to be all around the bedroom.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, like, a taxi driver says...
there'd been six moiders. Yeah. There'd
been six moiders. He goes, ah! Just opens the taxi door and runs out, trying to get arrested.
So the morning after, Alex says, I'm going to take you to the hospital. he finds out about the murders and he realizes, like, that's it, I'm definitely the werewolf. I mean, I waking up in the wolf cage, that would have, like, you know, triggered some lights. But, like, it was finding out about the murders that sort of made
him realize. Yeah, waking up in the wolf cage, he was like, well, that's weird, but, you know, get on with my day.
It's happened before, it'll happen again. And so he decides he's going to try and kill himself. I think he goes to Piccadilly Circus, finds the phone box and calls his parents. They're not in, but like I think his little sister or little brother's there or something. It's quite a sweet little scene of him saying goodbye. Puts the phone down, gets a razor blade out, and he's about to cut his wrists, but he can't do it. He's not brave enough, or I don't know. But and then he goes to he sees Jack across the road, his corpse, waving him in. So this place that he goes to, this little porn theater thing, is just around the corner from where we first met in person. Like literally just the same street, just around the corner.
Well. Who would have thought it? Who'd have funk it?
In Soho. It's a place called Duke of Argyle. It wasn't a porn theatre. I don't think there is. I'm sure they exist privately around Soho. Soho has some dodgy spots. But but it's not quite as that kind of place they're going to. I don't think that exists anymore.
No.
Unfortunately.
That's a shame because I'd already planned to make a trip to London and visit this place. But if it doesn't exist, I'll take your word for it, you know? Yeah. I mean, I know you'd know.
I would, yeah. And they go, so he goes into the porn theatre. There's literally a porno playing on the screen.
A really weird porno as well, where like a man walks in and goes, what are you doing with my wife? And she's like, I've never seen you before in my life. And he goes, all right. And walks out.
I was laughing my head off at those bits. He gets a phone call as well or something, and someone asks something, and he says, no, it's the wrong number. And then puts the phone, like, it's like weird things that don't really go anywhere. Like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And in the theatre, all the people he killed that night before, Jack's face at this point is like, is just gone. Like, he's just like a skeleton. He looks like he's crumbled to pieces, and he's like, this is the guy you killed here. This is Bib Fortuna. These guys only wanted an orange juice and a packet of crisps because they were hungry bums. And now they're all dead. And then they start brainstorming how they could, how he could off himself. And it's kind of a weird, sublime, fun Leaping little scene.
Pills,
yeah.
Gun, hang yourself, all that stuff.
Yeah. It's really good. But wait, so and he turns into a wolf inside there. Do you get any time at all to do it?
No. It's like, it's already nighttime.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand, but yeah, regardless, he turns to werewolf again, and then sort of obviously people are panicking and screaming in there, and the police arrive and pull down a shutter while he's sort of trying to get his way out.
Yeah, and this is the shit hit the bed moment, like
this was mad.
Yeah,
this was shit the bed, shit the walls, shit the there's just shit everywhere.
There's just shit everywhere. So David turns into wolf again. Bursts out of the porno theater, and then there's like the detective. He pops his head off like a
seed. So he like bites his head. The werewolf comes out and bites his head off.
Yeah,
and then like a car crash ensues, like a pile up where people are getting flattened. People are flying out of windscreens. It's like John Landis had like a budget for how much blood and death he could have put on the screen, and it got to the end of the film. He's like, I've only used 20% of the blood. I've got shitloads left to fit in. A pile up.
Yeah.
20 cars smashing into each other. People flat dead. Loads of dead bodies. It was insane. It was a holy shit, what the fuck moment.
Yeah. So then David runs away. And then they all sort of chase him. So I felt like the ending was a little bit abrupt. One of the only criticisms I have about the film. It just seems to. So David runs down an alleyway. The police are chasing him. Alex runs past the police and goes towards him. And then he goes to attack Alex, the police shoot him, and that's the end of the film.
That's the end, yeah.
I felt like it needed a little bit something extra on the end.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Also, like the alleyway was really long, and Alex was run, and she was right in front of the werewolf, and it managed to still get shot by the police from right at the other end while she was stood there as well. Do you know what I mean? It just felt a bit... It felt like it should have attacked her maybe, or done something, and then ran out.
So here's what I was thinking. So the whole thing really is film is about David's a good guy. If he doesn't do the right thing, which is kill himself, he's going to hurt more people. But he decides not to kill himself. And there's that split decision where Alex is like talking to him as a wolf, and she's like, David, it's me. And then he's like all wolf now. He should have killed himself before. It's too late. He's all wolf, and he goes to attack her. I feel like he should have chased her a bit more. He should have bitten her. He should have got killed. But because he hadn't killed himself, the curse lives on, and Alex is now gonna, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That would have been a nice little ending. But yeah, I think maybe it felt like it was missing a chunk. Maybe between the theater and the end, it felt like it was possibly missing a chunk. But I mean, I don't think it takes much away from it. It's still
no, not at all. Yeah, it's a fantastic film. But that's my only little criticism. I just wanted a bit more.
You're a greedy bastard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, dude. Would you like some trivia?
Oh yes, please.
During filming, number one, during filming, Griffin Dunne, who plays Jack, tried to use the bathroom in the one trailer that had one, and while doing his business, a driver hooked the trailer to his pickup truck and towed him away. True or false?
True.
It is true. Apparently, it's what it says on the internet. It's true. Number two, John Landis shot the porn film within the film.
True.
Also true. John Landis is a pornaholic. The person, the woman in the porno is a porn star, apparently. I don't know, it's just apparently. Number three.
Do some research, mate, before you give me this trivia.
Number three, John Landis' son, Max Landis, has gone on to follow in his father's footsteps and become a screenwriter of what found footage superhero film?
He wrote Chronicle?
He did, yeah. He's done loads of stuff.
I've also heard, yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. I do quite like him, but I find sometimes his personality is a bit great, and I'll watch a lot of his interviews and stuff. Obviously,
just calm down. Just calm down, dude.
Yeah, there were rumors that he was going to make direct a remake, wouldn't there?
Yeah. I don't think he should.
That would be interesting. Like, how many times has that happened? Like, the son of somebody has directed a remake of his dad's film.
But I think he's opened himself up to, no matter how it goes, I think people are going to like attack him for it. Like, yeah, I don't think he can win that situation.
I don't think he can win any situation, because I think he's got to the point now where he's so openly critical about so many things,
yeah,
that people just go, well, look at your stuff, and then he goes, well,
yeah,
So I'm not entirely sold on him at the moment, but
I do. I mean, like
Chronicle's all right, isn't it?
I quite like Chronicle. I do like how he's so open. So he puts a lot of his old writings on online and stuff, so you can read. He's written this 400 page Mario screenplay. Okay, I've only read the first couple of pages, but like the fact that like he puts this stuff out there is kind of interesting. He's like,
he's
very much a person of the modern age. You know what I mean? Like, very open, very sort of connected on the internet. He's always on the screenwriting subreddits and stuff, talking to people.
Yeah,
it's a cool guy. I just wish he'd just calm down a bit. Number four, in the Piccadilly Circus sequence, the man hit by a car and thrown through a store window is Andy Serkis himself. I think I didn't know what to put there.
you're just clawing for any Andy Serkis. I mean, I know you love Andy Serkis so much, you need to include him in everything we do, but it's false, isn't it?
No, it's actually true. It's his first film role back in 1980. No, it's not. It's fucking bullshit. It was actually John Landis. Did I have you though? Did I get you just
for a second? I was like, what?
Okay, so Griffin Dunne, who played Jack, would not let his mother watch the film because he's in it as like a mutilated corpse.
True.
When she finally saw it, she said, "I was deeply disturbed by it." That's all she had to say. So
that's a great review, Mum. Anybody got anything else to say about my performance?
This is my art, Mum.
This is my art, Mum. You don't understand me, do you? Yeah. Get out of it.
Yeah. And then she died. Know. Mysteriously, she disappeared. The next day. Okay, so, dude, you need to rate the film.
Rate this film. Rate my film.
Okay.
This is a film I've watched, you know,
lots and lots of times, and it always, it never disappoints. It always gives me excitement. I love it. I do love it. It's one of those films that you're like, I can't wait to watch it again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know I've seen it like a few days ago, but now I'm thinking, looking forward to watching it again. I don't think it's perfect. Obviously, we discussed the things we don't necessarily like about it. But it is a film that I think is transcend, like, it doesn't, hasn't really aged, and I don't think it will, like, for a while. So I'll give it an A, I think.
Nice. I've not seen this film in, I've only seen it once, and that was years ago. So I only really sort of half remember a lot of stuff. But like, seeing it again this time, having since lived in London, after seeing it before, has given me like has given me a whole new appreciation for what it's like to be a werewolf in London. And it's well annoying, especially when you wake up in the zoo.
Wake up in the morning, swallow my Oyster card, get on the tube.
But it's so good. Like, I feel like this is like a fresh discovery. Even though like I've seen this film before, it still feels like watching a whole new film again. I'm gonna give it an A-. I think it's good. Just need a little bit more in the end. No, that's about it.
That's all right, mate. I'm happy with you. Happy with you before you. Well done.
Thank you. So we are coming up to the end of the year. Christmas is coming up. I think we're on about doing some Christmas films, potentially get a couple of guests on, maybe, mayhap. But next week, I mean, we've talked about being off the cliff before, but this is moonsaulting off the edge. Like going deep into the rocks, wading out like a corpse into the Pacific. This is nearly 100 years old, this film we're going to be doing next week. Are you looking forward to it, Ben?
Yeah, it's my favourite. I love it.
Have you ever seen The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari before?
No, but I'm familiar with it and some visuals, but I've never seen it.
How long do you think it is?
How long's a piece of string? But I don't know. How long's a cabinet? I don't know. 1 hour, 15 minutes tops. That's at the very...
1 hour, 15 minutes tops. Struggling to find...
It's because it doesn't exist.
74 minutes.
No one's seen it. 74 minutes.
Yeah. It's longer than I thought.
I was 1 minute off.
Yeah. It's good. I've seen a scene before.
Okay. Well, in terms of when we said about Christmas films, if anyone's got any suggestions of Christmas films, Christmas horror films to watch for an episode, drop us a message, find us on Twitter, or go to the Horror Hangout Board of Advisors group on Facebook. Just search that. Join the group and get involved in loads of horror chat.
Yeah. So this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron for early, for bonus episodes and stuff over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovach Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes and remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you, Luke.
You need a wee.
I do need a wee, actually. I don't know. How did you know?
Were you pointing at your penis?
I was pointing at my penis and I was going, it needs a wee wee!
Yeah. Okay. We'll end it there.
Goodbye.
See you in a bit, mate.
I think that's kind of, I feel a bit like that as well.
It did feel very paint by numbers, didn't it?
Yeah.
But it's good. It's like when someone gives you a roast dinner and like you know what's on it, but it's all fucking fantastic, you know?
Except Brussels sprouts. Ooh. They can fuck off. You stuck a sprout in there again, haven't you? I thought it was chicken.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think a bit of horseradish on there wouldn't have gone down a treat. Just a bit of spice.
Just imagine something like you were eating that roast dinner and suddenly just a bit of ice cream in the middle.
Cucumber.
Cucumber.
Okay, do you have some trivia?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, number one. Chief Hopper's trailer only cost the art department $1 to purchase. True or false?
True.
It's true, apparently. He says Chief Hopper's trailer reportedly only cost the art department $1 to buy. But, you know, I'm sure there's some sort of weird tax evasion thing happening there. Number two, Gaten Matarazzo, the guy who plays Dustin, was the first actor cast for the show.
True.
Yes, that's also true. Two for two. Number three, Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11, is actually 29 years old, but looks so young on account of addiction to Nivea. True or false?
False. No one's addicted to Nivea.
Don't know. Number four, Hawkins Town was named after a character in Predator.
True.
It's true, yeah. In another homage space movie, Police Chief Jim Hopper is named after the character Arnold Schwarzenegger first goes looking for in Predator. You've seen that more recently than me. Is that true? I don't know. Can you remember?
False. False. Well,
no, it's true. I mean, I'm just... Really, that wasn't part of the trivia. I was asking you a question, like, genuinely.
Is that I'm so convinced that every time you ask me a question, you're doing trivia.
How you doing today, Ben?
False!
Okay, number five. For their kiss scene, Finn Wolfhard quietly said to Millie Bobby Brown, although he just says Bobby here, "I'm coming in to warn her about his kiss."
Bobby Brown. That's true. I know that's true.
And then Millie's like, what are you doing, Mike?
I'm coming in.
Nice little visual there. The extras all clapped for their kissing scene.
You've done a real good kiss. True.
Pretty. Okay, last one. Number six. After two successful seasons, the Duffer brothers have finally made enough money for the painful operation to separate their conjoined bodies.
True.
Yeah, it's true, that one. Okay. Yeah. You did. I think you got all of them right. Even the question that I was just genuinely asking you.
I even got that right.
I guess we need to grade it. I mean, it's going to be difficult to grade it. It's kind of different to normal. But yeah. If you had to give it an A to an F, what would you give it?
I think I'd give it a B minus.
Cool. Yeah, what about season one?
For me, season one was like an A.
Yeah. Minus. For me, so I've got down season one A, season two B. I don't know. I always have to get that, like whatever the 0.5 is more than your grade. I'm a glass half full. You're like glass half full, but someone's pissed in this.
Glass half full, but it is piss. I'll still drink it. Is this clean?
There's lipstick smudge here. Yeah. Have you dipped your finger in this cup? Okay. And that's it. Dude, this is like the longest episode we've ever done.
Jesus.
Yeah. TV show, isn't it? Longer.
Yeah, there's a lot to go through.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to get back on the list. I think it's number 19, An American Werewolf in London. A great film by Mr. John Landis.
Oh.
So I look forward to that. And yeah, so this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron for early access to episodes, bonus content, and heaps of free stuff over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks for the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you, Luke, for also being a real horror dude most of the time.
I'm going to cut on that final bit there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.